Station.
In one moment, a gift most humans never receive in a lifetime.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Starting next week, this is my sec. Bob breaks down the NFL.
No!
Jeff Lutz.
Are you kidding me? You're terrible at it.
Warning. 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
If you're invited to partake of it.
Oh, gasp. I'm so excited.
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. It is a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz. We have a three-man booth today, but it's not the three-man booth we typically have. It's the big fella Anthony and Mike Furches in with me today in the West Wichita basement studio. A little bit unique look to the show today. Big fella, how you been?
If you want the truth, I'm going to tell you, I've been tired.
Tired?
Very tired.
You're a young man compared to Mike and me.
I may be young, but these last few weeks has been a lot of miles.
Been working you, huh?
Yeah, because I got my job working security again, so I get off one job from 10 to 6.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I go into the other job from 7 to 11.
And, well, that's crazy.
And the cop-out would have been, well, Bob, I'm going to be asleep, so, but I like this opportunity because opportunities like this don't come but maybe once in a lifetime. And anytime I'm in your presence and looking at you in this League 42 shirt that I sure wish I had, my birthday passed last month. It's always a pleasure to be in your presence looking at that League 42 shirt. You probably got about 1,000 of them.
Sucking up will get you everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Here's our friend Mike Furches on your left. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. I'm a little tired, but I'm recovering and getting much better. I had a very busy lot of miles under my tail end over the last 3 weeks. So
took a long trip.
I went and spent a week with family in Tennessee, which I love. For a family, we do our family reunion last week in July every year, and so you go from one reunion to another, and it's a shame that you see people there 1 year that's not the next because they've gone on, you know. But then we went to Ohio, and I was telling you earlier before the show, I went to spend time with my daughter. I love family, and the little town of Bluffton, Ohio. The Olympic Games, I was telling you, I'm not, and this is no exaggeration, 3 out of every 5, probably 6 out of every 10 homes had a plaque, like a political sign, that said, "Let's go, Trevor." And one of their athletes from a little town called Bluffton, Ohio, about 3,000 students, one of their athletes made it to the Olympic Games in the 400-meter hurdles.
3,000 citizens or the college?
3,000 citizens.
Okay.
With the college.
And he made it to this Olympics?
Yes. And his track coach in high school coaches my grandson.
All right.
And so that's, you know, I can tell you that, one of these elite families, my grandson's getting trained by a guy who coached an Olympic athlete. But it was
impressive.
But to see the Olympics there in that type of a setting.
I miss the Olympics.
It was, I
really enjoyed them.
There was the controversy, but I forget it. I thought it was amazing. And anytime you see those athletes, it's
controversy in every facet of life now.
Yeah.
In 2024, you can walk down the street chewing bubble gum, and somebody will make that a controversy.
Controversy.
You know the one great song, don't you? The old prophetic song, "Why Can't We Be Friends?"
Well, it's...
I got another one. How about this one? Can't we just all get along?
Yeah, something like that. But
that's the great prophet
Rodney. It seems like we've lost the ability to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, for those that don't know, I mean, yours and Jeff's and mine, probably Anthony, we all have even different political views. But you know what? We get along. I mean, I love Jeff to death. He's like a brother almost.
That's the first time I heard somebody say they love Jeff.
Well, I love him.
All right, two times.
You don't love him? I mean, he's just a wonderful
man. Jeff is like
man.
Jeff is like a brother to me, man. Just like
well,
a
there
brother.
You go. Oh, so he's like a brother to both of you, which must mean you're like sons to me. But I already have a son in Duda, so I don't need any more.
Duda.
Yeah, Jason Duda not here today. Jeff on his way to Manhattan, taking their daughter, Erin, to college. That's cool.
That's
I kind of wish I was on that trip. As parents, that's something you only do once in your life.
Yeah.
Is take your kid away to college for the first time.
I didn't get to.
And that's impressive. And I told them to send me a photo on the trip.
Is he not social?
And I want to share that on social media.
Yeah.
Because that's cool.
It's a big deal. One of the most meaningful days of my life, emotional days, was the day I took my daughter to college. Took her to Winfield, and the man, I was, it tore me up.
Well, imagine. I mean, you for 18 years, this person has been in your stead.
Yeah.
They've been by your side, in your home. Your life has revolved around that person, and this is their only child. So now you take her away to Manhattan, and you're driving home later tomorrow. Tomorrow's the check-in and orientation. But then you're driving home tomorrow without that person, and it's going to be stark.
Yeah. And you're in that line too. It's your granddaughter.
Yeah. You know, I mean, but I'm not the parent, yeah. And certainly as a grandparent, we know she's in good hands at K-State, and she's got a plan of action. She's not going to college just saying, well, I'll figure it out on the fly. She's got a concrete plan for what she wants to do, and that's fashion design. And she's already planning to study abroad either her sophomore or junior year. That's cool. That's impressive.
Aren't you
proud of the kid?
I mean, aren't you glad that intelligence gene skipped from you to her?
Yeah, I am.
Ooh.
There's a little shot at his brother.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's listening on the Odyssey app right about now. Matter of fact, if he is listening, make sure you bring me some K-State gear back, like a jersey or something, or, you know, a ball cap. I want to make sure it comes from Manhattan. Don't go to Walmart in here in Wichita or any of these other stores. I want it directly from the campus bookstore. By the way, Mike, I got a question to ask you.
Yes, sir.
You said you was in Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
Did you see any of my hats there?
UT hats?
Any of my hats. Any of my hats.
Any of your hats.
Right.
What are they?
Because all my exes live in Texas, so I hang my hat in Tennessee.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boys. It's going to be that kind of show?
Oh, my goodness.
Now,
Where's Duda when you need him?
If Jeff had said that, I'd kick him out. I'd ask him polite. No, not polite.
Oh.
I'd say, Jeff, this show has a little higher ceiling than that.
That's the difference between me and Jeff.
That was marginally funny. I get it. Like, good job, Anthony.
You know, when Jeff's going to turn into a comedy show, don't it?
Now, here's what we have for you on the show today. We continue Big 12 football previews with Matt Mershall from the Orlando Sentinel. We'll be talking Central Florida.
Central Florida.
The Big 12 is spread all over the country now. So you throw a dart at a map of the U.S., and chances are you'll hit somewhere that has a Big 12 team.
How many teams is in that conference now?
16.
Why don't they call it the Global 16 or the All-State 16?
Something. They've got that Big 12 thing kind of marketed. So
I think they should go back. We still under the SEC banner. The league is what they should go.
Please. No, don't be a snob.
Since they was talking about All-State 12, since they got 16, how about the All-State 16? Or I think Global would be better until they get it. Finally, the 20 teams.
Yeah, come on.
There'll be an expansion into Mexico or Canada before long.
And then coming up at what time? 3:25 today. Scott Russell, one of the great javelin and weight throwers of all time here in the state of Kansas. Six-time All-American. He's going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame coming up in October. And did his collegiate work at the University of Kansas. Born in Canada, currently a coach in Eudora, Kansas, which is right there close to Lawrence. So Scott Russell will join us at 3:25. At 2:45 today, Mike, we're going to talk pop culture with you.
Okay.
I don't know what Anthony's into regarding pop culture. Maybe nothing, since he's working 16 hours a day. Maybe he'll have some new questions for you. I saw you went to see the new M. Night
Shyamalan
movie.
Yep.
You liked it?
I did like it very much, and it's getting very much mixed reviews. But I really like
every movie he makes gets mixed reviews.
It sure does. I mean, he's that kind of guy, it seems like, with his movies. I thought the last few of his, with the exception of Cabin in the Woods, were a little weak. The Old was horrible, and but this one was back to me to the old M. Night, to some of his old styles of movie making. So,
well, he made it big with his first one, obviously,
yep.
Sixth Sense, and then has been hit and miss since.
The Village is, I love The Village, but most people hated The Village.
It was okay. I haven't seen any M. Night Shyamalan movies since The Village.
Yeah,
that's the last one I saw. But
we'll talk
more about pop culture.
Okay.
Royals continue their series tonight in Minneapolis against the Twins. They got beat last night, and they are, I told Jeff yesterday, I think the Royals will bypass Cleveland. Well, not yesterday. Cleveland won. The Royals lost. So Cleveland gains a game on Kansas City. Brady Singer not good in that game against the Twins, and they get a shot today to go back against Minnesota, who has a rookie, Gabby. Now I can't think of the guy's name. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my memory? He pitched here in Wichita.
I'm not going to touch that one.
I learned that you know a lot more about baseball.
I don't like not recalling something, and it irritates the heck out of me. Gabby something. See, this is where Jeff.
This is where Jeff.
This is where Jeff would come in and save me. You two clowns.
Wait a minute. Would he save you, or would he throw you under the bus?
No, he'd save me.
And then throw you on the bus.
Yeah, something like that. So tonight it's Lugo and I can't find it. It's so pathetic.
You're human.
Well, but
you're human.
On. This guy was with the Wind Surge.
Somebody will call three.
So I know who you're talking about too, but now I can't think of his.
Well, he was phenomenal. With the Wind Surge. He's been in AAA. He hasn't been quite as good there, but he's making his major league debut tonight, and I should be able to come up with the name.
I should be going to more Wind Surge games. This is what I should be doing without a doubt.
Well, I'm going Friday night. I'm taking my baseball team up. To Riverfront. So we're looking forward to that, and we'll see how that goes.
I may see if I can talk my wife into getting us tickets or us going out to see the – because I know she's listening today. Maybe we can go out and see the Wind Surge.
I'm going to ask you to shut that door, Anthony, because my dog doesn't seem to understand that we're trying to do a radio show.
You know what? I'm glad that I don't feel so bad now. There's times that I've been talking to you from the house instead of being in studio, and my dog will start barking.
Zebby Matthews.
There you go. It was this.
Not was Gabby. Not Gabby. Zebby Matthews for the Twins. And I like it when players who played here get to the big leagues. That was always a big – when I was younger and covered minor league baseball, as I did quite a bit, and those players would get to the big leagues, I always felt like, hey, that's really cool.
Yeah. Where were they at then? I mean, like right now they're 2A or roughly a 2A team.
Double A, and then I covered the Wichita Arrows for a few years. That was a Triple A franchise.
Does it seem to you like they go up quicker in the Double A than the Triple A? It seems to me that they go up.
Triple A is the next step to the big league, so a lot of those people do get called up from Triple A, but a lot of the players in AAA have stagnated. So they're kind of just stuck in AAA or they're on their way down. AA players, for the most part, are still seen by their organizations as aspiring, as rising in their organization. So rarely will you have a AA player that is viewed as, well, he's just a AA player and that's all he'll ever be. It happens, but for the most part, the players who are with the Wind Surge right now are players that who are seen by the Twins as having at least a shot to get to the big leagues.
Yeah. When I was in Tennessee, there were so many people in my hometown. The Southern League, which was a rookie league, one of the oldest league, if not the oldest baseball league in the country, they had built a new stadium. They readjusted the whole league, or I think they're single A or double A now. I'm not sure. But
in Johnson City?
Yeah. And then in the college, East Tennessee State University, who always had a good baseball team, they've renovated their baseball facilities. And it's nice to see that baseball, and as I travel between one place and another, you see that the stadiums are growing. And this is a little thing that I noticed. Architecturally, they're more old school.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like it. I love that.
They're old school, but with a twist of modernization.
Yeah.
So that's what Riverfront Stadium was designed to be in many ways.
And it reminds me of that in many ways too.
But it kind of has an old school look with a lot of modern features. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think the kids today will appreciate that as much? I mean, my daughter is going to take me to a Detroit game, and the last time I saw Detroit play, that's back in the Mark Fidrich days, back at the old Tiger Stadium. But I don't know if kids, I guess what they experience now will be what they appreciate when they get older. But you and I, those old school stadiums, there's really something to that.
Well, when I was a kid and I walked into a major league stadium, I was in awe.
Yeah.
I don't know if kids today are in awe of things. I don't know. Maybe they are, but I don't know.
Well, me compared to y'all, I guess I would be that kid. I would be in awe just to go to a major league stadium. I haven't been yet.
Wow. You have not been to a major league stadium.
I've not been to a major league stadium.
Well, I'm gonna demand that you go to Kansas City to watch a Royals game.
Yeah,
before
they're not in Kansas City, right?
You have a favorite team in Major League Baseball?
Y'all gonna laugh at me, but way back when I was kind of really into baseball, and I guess it has something to do with the uniforms, my favorite team was Oakland A's.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I also like the Houston Astros.
Yeah, there's something wrong with that.
and I like the San Diego Padres.
Nothing wrong with that.
But it was something about the uniforms, because everybody seemed like they had the same old dull gray.
You like colorful uniforms.
Didn't have nothing alternative. And, you know, baseball, you know, every team had these ugly, dark shoes, made them look old and slow. And it was the A's, the Astros, and the Padres at the time. They had the white shoes, kind of like before the time, like Billy White Shoes Johnson.
Especially the A's. They were the team that really brought out the white shoes in baseball.
Yes.
At a time when they were really good, too. Yeah. So caught a lot of attention.
That makes a big difference. If you're really good, you can look at how the sales for that particular item with that team will just go through the roof.
Yeah, I'll never forget the image of Reggie Jackson wearing a pair of white cleats.
In
his early days with Oakland.
The media and its coverage and how it does things makes a huge difference in certain. I don't know if this is true or not. I read it that it was true, that when Caitlin Clark became a member of the Fever, that she sold more jerseys than the Cowboys. I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm saying that
wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me either. But how the media, the attention the athletes get, you talk about with Billy White Shoes Johnson. No one was doing it in the game to that extent that he was in football.
This year in sports will be remembered as, of course, the year of the Olympics, first and foremost, but the year of Caitlin Clark, whose influence has done more to transform women's sports, not just women's basketball. Women's sports.
Yeah.
Women's sports have never been at a higher place. I don't care if it's track and field, gymnastics, tennis, golf, whatever it is. People want to see women compete in sports now. And for how many years were we lukewarm to that?
Yeah. I was watching the women's volleyball in the Olympics, and I watched men's. I watched about everything I could on the Olympics. And I thought the women's volleyball was more entertaining than the men. And I'm not talking about beach volleyball. My wife and some other women have serious issues with that. But team volleyball, the speed and the competition, and I think women's been playing it from a small school level all the way up through for a longer time frame than men anyway.
Right.
It was fascinating to watch women this year. And I'm so glad we're talking to a javelin thrower, because I've got a couple of questions. Because, man, my grandson and I watched the javelin in the Olympics, and I was noticing things about that particular sport I had never noticed.
I love track and field.
Yeah.
It's an awesome, awesome sport. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk college football. Our Big 12 previews continue. Matt Mercial covers Central Florida for the Orlando Times-Sentinel. We'll get a Central Florida preview next. Bob and Jeff with our good friends, Mike Furches and the big fella, Anthony. Stay with us. Let's get to Matt Mercial. A little late. We're sorry, Matt. That's on me. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing okay. You're with Bob and Anthony and Mike, and we're excited to get your thoughts on Central Florida, yet another team in the Big 12 that, if things fall in exactly the right place, could be a contender. I think we've said that about every team we've previewed. I've never seen a conference with more balance going into a season. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of parity in this league this year, and I think that was something that was addressed by Commissioner Brett Yormark at, you know, Football Media Days in Las Vegas last month. He talked a lot about the parity, and you could see it from top to bottom. I mean, you know, obviously you've got the newcomers coming in. You got teams like Utah and Arizona who had strong seasons last year. You've got some of the other teams that have been around for a while in Kansas State and Oklahoma State. And then you've got, you know, like you mentioned, UCF and a couple of the other newcomers who came in last year who maybe have an opportunity to kind of flip the script a little bit and make a, you know, maybe make a little bit of noise when it comes to the title race. So it's a very interesting year for them. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch the title chase in the Big 12.
Yes, Matt, this is Anthony, and I'm just kind of curious as to how long you've been actually following UCF, and because they have evidently experienced some success. We've seen some success coming from that program when it was in the American Athletic Conference. Do you see them getting some of that same success in the Big 12 now? Are they recruiting the same type of players, or are they recruiting better players? What type of success level do you see them having in the Big 12 now?
Yeah, you know, I've been covering them for almost about a decade now, a little more than a decade now since I've been at the Sentinel. And, yeah, I mean, they've had success, obviously, in 2017, 2018. They put together back-to-back undefeated regular seasons. They beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl in 2017. They went to the Fiesta Bowl the following year and lost to LSU and Joe Burrow. So they've had some success, but what they've done – they expected to kind of carry that over into going into the Big 12. And they knew it's going to be a little bit of an uphill climb to begin with, because again, you're making a transition from, you know, a group of five conference to a power five conference. So you're going to have to go out and recruit better players. You're going to have to get better players in the transfer portal. You're going to have to coach at a different level. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, when they brought in Gus Malzahn to be their head coach, the idea was, okay, we're bringing a guy who's coached in the SEC. He's coached in a power league. He knows what it takes to win at that level. And he's done that since he's got here. I mean, he's found ways to recruit differently. They're recruiting a lot of different players. Their recruiting classes are ranked in the top 30, basically the last two seasons. And that's something that's just not, you know, for this program, it hasn't happened. And so it's been a real kind of injection of talent and athleticism. And they feel like that's going to be what they need if they want to compete in the Big 12.
And this is Mike here, a Southern boy, as you can tell. One of the questions I have about UCF, especially in regards to recruiting, it's hard enough to recruit just out of Florida. I would consider Florida a power state when it comes to recruiting because there are so many great high school athletes. How does UCF hold its ground in those types of things, in the way that they're recruiting and the players are getting?
Yeah, Florida is definitely a recruiting battleground here. And what UCF has been able to do over the last couple of years, especially, is, you know, when Gus Malzahn arrived in 2021, his emphasis was on, we're going to recruit the state of Florida like our hair's on fire, is what he told us. And basically, they've done that. You know, they've gone up and down the state trying to make sure they could try to get some of the top talent. They really focused on the Central Florida Orlando area. That's something that's kind of been neglected over the last couple coaching staffs. They really kind of put a, they talked about putting a dome over it, essentially, and trying to keep the local talent, their hometown heroes. They've been able to do that. They've gone and got, you know, and I think part of what some of their success is they've got a few four-star players that they signed and brought aboard, and they go out and they play and they have some success. So they're able to use them as kind of like a model to what they want to do. So they go around to the other schools and they say, listen, look what this player's done. Look what this kid has done. We think you can do the same sort of thing. You can jump in and play pretty much immediately, and we're going to give you an opportunity to play in a Power 5 conference. And I think that's been the selling appeal to them. Plus, you know, I mean, Florida has been down a little bit over the last couple of years. Florida State's just kind of bouncing back after a period of about 4 or 5 years where they weren't really that good. And Miami's still trying to find its way back. So it's been really kind of – the timing has been really perfect for them, because all the other power teams in the state – have been down, and you know they've been able to take advantage of that and being able to kind of grab some players that maybe they normally wouldn't have done otherwise in the past.
Talking Central Florida football, Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel as we continue Big 12 previews here on the Bob and Jeff Show. So really good running back returns in RJ Harvey, over 1400 yards last year. The receiving core looks pretty solid, even though they lost the receiver, Javon Baker, to the NFL. They've got a new quarterback in from the transfer portal. I think every school has a new quarterback in from the transfer portal. This one from Arkansas by the name of KJ Jefferson. Tell us what to make of him, and then how Gus Malzahn has gone about making the defense better, because that was a weakness last year.
Yeah, KJ Jefferson's a big guy. He's a 6'3", 250-pound quarterback, and he's a fifth-year guy who had a stellar career at Arkansas, wanted to have one more opportunity, sat down with Gus Malzahn, and you know, he saw what Gus was able to do with a quarterback named Cam Newton a few years back, and went on to win the Heisman Trophy when he was at Auburn. So KJ is a big fan of Cam Newton, and so he wanted to basically come somewhere where he felt like he could be coached up and have an opportunity to get to the NFL and play at that elite level. So he feels like Gus is going to be able to provide that for them as well. And I think you got spot on when it comes to the defense. You know, last year, UCF's Achilles heel was the defense. They weren't very good against the run. They were last in the Big 12 in stopping the run. So the offseason, what they did is, you know, Gus Malzahn went out and brought in Ted Roof, a longtime assistant coach, who had coached under him many years ago at Auburn, who was at Oklahoma last year, basically brought him in, a guy who knows how to build run-stopping defenses. So brought him in to kind of rebuild this defense, get them bigger, stronger, faster. They redid the strength and conditioning program, brought in a whole new staff there as well. They've been able to kind of flip the script when it comes to building the athletes' bodies and getting them bigger and stronger. And the focus has been on adding some more depth through the transfer portal and recruiting, and trying to make sure that they have enough players in case they do have some injuries that guys go down. They had some guys last year who were hurt and banged up, and they never really had enough players to kind of step in and fill the spots. I think that's something they learned very quickly about playing in a conference like the Big 12. So they feel like now they're stronger, faster. They feel like they have the ability to stop people. They're a much better tackling team, they believe, and they feel like they're going to have an opportunity to prove that when they get on the field this year.
And speaking of recruiting again, that seems like a key point right there. And you mentioned the schools that were down. How much does that play a role in the fact that they can probably get some of those players that would probably go to a Florida or a Florida State or a Miami? Just out of curiosity, are they targeting those type of players, or are they getting the players that are overlooked by those programs? And are they still playing with that same chip on their shoulder?
No, you know, they're going head to head with all these programs. You know, it used to be they would kind of go in and you try to get whatever's left over, a player maybe that was a 3-star guy that maybe one of those schools wasn't interested in. Now they're going head to head with them. They've actually won some recruiting battles with some schools here in the state of Florida. They flipped some Florida kids who were interested in going to play for the Gators. Now they're gonna come to UCF. They've done it on a bigger scale too. They had a player who was a Georgia commit who just recently flipped and went for their next class. So they're not afraid to kind of go into someone's home and say, we understand that you're thinking about going to Ohio State, or you're thinking about going to Florida State, or you're thinking about going to Miami. we think you should come here and play for us. And they feel like that's a big selling point. And even if they don't get those kids to commit, their thought process is, okay, you may go a year or two at a school and you may not be happy. And then when you jump in the portal, we want to be right there. We want you to remember us because we're going to be there on the second half of that, the back end, and we're going to get you, and we're going to have you to try to come here and play for us, you know, later on in your career. And that's happened really well for them. That's been the success that they've been able to have is they've gotten through the transfer portal and grabbed a lot of these kids who maybe gone somewhere else and thought they were going to have success, weren't able to do that, and now turned around and are coming back home, whether to be closer to home, whether to play, you know, for a power program or something like that. They've done a really good job on that. That's something that's kind of stood out for them. And they're happy to grab as many of those kids as they can possibly do. But Gus Malzahn also knows that you can't just rely on the transfer portal. You've got to develop some players through the high school ranks. And that's why they've gone head-to-head with a lot of these schools.
This is Mike again. You kind of just answered my question in a way because I'm thinking of Reddick, the player, the four-star safety that just transferred over to USC or ended up flipping. How has that process in recruiting, I mean, you touched on that to some extent, how has that changed the game? Because, I mean, it seems like the school or university makes such an effort to get a player, and then at such a late notice they flip and go to another team. I mean, you kind of answered that, but if you expand on that a little bit more, please.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, in the past, you know, I will say I think the transfer portal, as much as there's a negative connotation to it, I think with things that the transfer portal helps is you don't get nearly as much decommitments or kids flipping as you see. It happens occasionally, as you mentioned. Like the UCF had a kid who decided, I think it was last night, he flipped his commitment and went to USC. But, you know, it's not so much so as much anymore because what they're seeing is, high school players are seeing, is that if a school can't get you, you know, through, you know, recruiting, then they'll just go to the portal and grab someone who's a lot more experienced. They'll go look at the portal and say, okay, I'll get a player who maybe had 2 or 3 years under his belt at college, and I'll bring him aboard. And that way then I don't have to worry about spending 3 years of time to develop you and have you go somewhere else. So there are a lot of high school kids I've spoken with who are nervous about that. You know, they want to make sure that if they're going to go somewhere, they're committed to go somewhere and have some success. Also, you know, name, image, and likeness, you know, NIL and collective. Those kind of things, which have been a part of college football the last couple of years, have played a major role in it as well, because you have a lot of collectives that are doing their jobs of trying to make sure they can convince players to come to the school. UCF has tried to do that, you know, over the last couple of years. They've built a stronger collective. They're not nowhere near where they want to be in the Big 12. I think they're still in the bottom half, but they feel like if they can get a good chance to sit down with a player, they've got a chance to maybe convince them to come to the school and play for them. So, it's definitely changed a lot differently than it used to be about a decade ago when it came to recruiting and how a lot of these schools handle it.
All right, one more question for Matt Mershell from the Orlando Sentinel. Now we study schedules because of the unbalanced nature with all these expansions, especially of Power 5 conferences. And I got to say, UCF has to be doing cartwheels over its schedule because – there's no K-State, there's no Kansas, and there's no Oklahoma State. That doesn't mean this is a walk in the park, because Utah and Arizona are opponents, but not until later in the season. This is an ideal schedule for UCF to make a real run, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, I think so. You know, for sure. I think so. You look at the schedule. You know, last year they had a really difficult schedule. They traveled 17,000 miles. They're on the road a lot. It wore the team down towards the end. You could see that on the field a little bit. This year, it's not the case. And you're right. They don't have to face they don't have to face some of those other ranked schools in the Kansas State and Oklahoma State. You know, they do have some challenges. They are going to go on the road to TCU. That's a new place for them. I know TCU was down last year, but, you know, again, it's being on the road, opening up Big 12 part of the schedule. They do face Colorado at home. You're not quite sure what you're going to get with Colorado, with Deion Sanders and everything he brings there. And you got a road game at, you know, Iowa State and at West Virginia down the road. Those are going to be challenges for them, you know. And you mentioned Arizona and Utah. So the back half of the schedule is a little bit difficult. If they could start out strong, if they can get, you know, go 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, they've got an opportunity to make some noise, you know. They just can't get tripped up early on. But the schedule is favorable for them, and they got opportunities to try to really, you know, make some moves here. They just can't. They have to avoid what kind of happened last year, where they weren't able to finish games and they found themselves, you know, tied or leading late in games, and then somehow gave up in the last couple of minutes. So they, if they can do that, I think they got a good strong opportunity.
Matt, good stuff. Thank you so much for being on with us discussing Central Florida football. We appreciate it. Best of luck covering the team this year. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
All right. Matt Marshall from the Orlando Sentinel. How about if we just start over?
Okay, we'll start.
I heard Rome do that a couple weeks ago. He just started the show over. And it was a better show.
With Rome, that can be a normal thing. But with you, I mean, it's so spot on most of the time.
Well, and this isn't on you guys. This is completely me.
No.
Max has got me flustered. Max knows I love him. I don't know what's going on.
Max.
And you're just sitting there smiling, Anthony.
It's just one of them days. Everybody has those moments. I mean, I had those moments too. Walk out the house, remember that I forgot something, and I don't know. It must be something about the door, because as soon as you walk back through the door, whatever it was you remembered, you forgot.
Usually for me when I do that, Anthony, I forgot something. I walk out the door and say, what did I forget? And I go try to back in the house to find it, and my keys are in the door.
Or you go to look for your glasses and they're on your face.
That happened to me last week.
Really?
So, Bob, you're not alone. Or everybody have them days.
You're trying to find your phone and it's in your hand. I know that people's going through this kind of stuff.
I'm having one of those afternoons. I was pretty good this morning, pretty sharp, kind of on top of my game. And you guys came over, and it's all falling apart on me.
It's like deja vu.
Wait a minute, hold on. Wait a minute. I'm not going to let that one slide right there. He said everything was going well, and then we came over.
Yeah. Well, that is.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, I heard it. But
that is the one thing that happened that sent me into a tailspin.
I'm going to have to start acting like Jeff now.
It's a new three-man crew that's never happened before, you know.
One thing you'll notice on this show, I never take responsibility for my own mishaps.
We could tell he's a LeBron James fan.
You kind of came close to that once.
Did I?
Yeah. After, you know, it's been almost eight years since I've been doing this with you. Isn't that unbelievable?
That is unbelievable.
Almost 8 years. It's unreal.
We had a guy doing it, and he couldn't do it anymore. And I put out a plea on Facebook saying, we need somebody to come on this show and talk pop culture because I've never wanted this to be a strictly sports show. That doesn't interest me. I've immersed myself in sports for my entire life. I have other interests. I like talking movies and music and whatever. And so we reached out and somebody suggested Mike, and all these years later, here he is. Yeah.
I think my buddy Eric Scriven give a shout out.
Could have been Eric Scriven.
And Clint Deard, who was at the time working with the T. Boone Pickens down in Texas, but from Topeka. I think those were the two that contacted me. And someone else did, I can't remember her, but I remember those two because Eric and I had close associations, well, with soccer, and then Clint and I through wrestling. So.
And then Eric. Anthony with his podcast.
Yeah.
And
a preacher man.
And the preacher man.
Yeah.
Hey, we had a lot more in common than you realize, bro.
Maybe you'll need to get Mike on your podcast someday.
Yeah, I'm going to get him on there. I think I've reached out to him a few times. So, you know, it's just.
Well, he's hard to get. You got to go through his people.
Yeah, got the gatekeepers. We used to call it MCI back in the day when I worked there.
Has Jeff been on your podcast?
He's been on there.
Wait, hold on here. I'm behind. You mean Jeff's top billing over me?
Jeff has been on. Hey, Jeff didn't hesitate.
I'm on his time. You let me know. You give me a time and a date.
Okay.
And we're good to go.
Oh, I also heard some good news. I might be late. They might have already announced this, but how about this partnership that KFH is in Vipe, Kansas has formed and going to be top tier for all your high schools?
Well, we've had Joanna on for 8 years. It's not.
No, Joanna. I mean,
it's great that we have the partnership officially with Vipe, but we've had her on for. On this show,
she's
since
a great
our
person.
Beginning
back in
she's
Tennessee.
Okay. Let's not go overboard.
The thing that when you have Joanna as a guest back in Tennessee, I love, and they still do it. It's a big deal every Friday night, you've got the couple local stations that's got people out covering all the games, giving the reports, what's happening here, and, you know, what's going on between Andover and whoever, and then Derby and Manhattan. And they have live broadcasts where you have your main core, just like on television, where you got the people that's covering all the college games, but they do that with the high school games. High school football, for it to be such an event, I'm sorry, it needs more coverage in the paper.
Well, it used to get a ton of coverage, yeah. And then newspapers went the way they've gone. And that affected the coverage. Now, I don't know what TV does, but I'm just going to say this, and no offense to anyone on TV, but newspapers can cover high school sports in a far superior fashion.
Yeah.
Even with the visuals that TV can provide, and those are good. The rundown, the stats, the observation, the description of covering a high school game. I so think newspapers have missed the boat on this. And they should be somewhat ashamed, because that's Americana. And we've allowed a real slice of Americana to disappear. And what do we do as a society? We can't do anything about it.
And then we question why things have changed.
Yeah, well, it's part of it.
It's like people like an 8-second segment, which is why you see all the quick edits on television and movies now, to keep your attention. I prefer the narrative, the written word, the detail, the character development.
Well, we used to send out a team of reporters to high school games every Friday night for football, every Tuesday and Friday for basketball. We covered 6-7 games a night, and they were in the paper the next morning, and you got to see the box score, and you got to see the write-up, and you got to see names of high school athletes. We don't see names of high school athletes anymore.
Right.
At least not consistently. And it's a shame. It's a real shame that that we're allowing this to happen.
I'm going to tell you where you're going to get most of the names of your high school athletes. If you want to really reach out to them, get your X account. And y'all know how they say X, formerly known as. I'm not going to say all that, because they're going to be saying it 20 years from now. X, formerly known as.
I call it Twitter. We call it Twitter here on this show.
Okay. Well, Twitter. And that's how I'm able to reach out and attract some of these young student athletes. And they just love it. So.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not going to follow high school kids on Twitter.
I got coaches, too.
It's fine that you do.
Right.
But I'd rather be able to read about their accomplishments.
And then to have a place that you can go to where a single solitary place. Because the box scores.
I haven't seen a high school box score.
As an athlete, I'm telling you, you may not have been great, but I enjoyed going and looking, Furchus 11 points, 2 rebounds or whatever it would have in there. That's good for the kids. Now they get their notoriety through Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
Or TikTok.
Yeah, or whatever. And I'm going to be old-fashioned and say that there were some things, there were actually quite a few things about those old days related to sports and coverage that were better.
But young people may not view it that way. We didn't. When technology advanced, we didn't look at the old days and say that was better. I don't know if a high school kid would say, man, I'd sure like a box score to appear. Or they just relish the advent and the proliferation of social media, and that's their coverage, and they're fine with it. As long as they can appeal to their fellow athletes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the numbers of those I still think is down, because then it's a selective audience.
It is, but maybe that. I can't speak as a young person because I'm not one. But maybe a selective audience is what this generation prefers.
Yeah.
All right, I got to take a break. We will get to pop culture with Mike Furchus, the big fella Anthony in as well. It's a Tuesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show. We've got an interview with Scott Russell, former Olympian in the javelin throw from KU. And a native of Canada. Too bad Duda's not here today. This is a rare time when a Canadian found success. We'll talk to Scott Russell coming up at 3:25. Stay with us.
You'll go wacko, bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
You don't have any idea what my life was like before you came along. You know, most people want to have kids and they settle in, and that's all good.
I hear ya.
Jeff Lutz.
I know that, dude.
It's hard for me to believe that you folks don't understand the way of the world.
No duh, right?
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
And it's going to be legendary.
All right, we are back. The three-man booth, Bob Lutz, the big fella Anthony, Mike Furches. Our first ever attempt at this. You guys are doing great. I've dropped the ball a few times. Why are you doing whatever you're doing, big fella?
Hey, it's that music. I feel it. Yeah. You know what? You got me thinking, the three of us together, we could probably come together and do as good as the Bee Gees.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, well, I didn't throw Jeff in there. With the Jeff in there, it'd make us be now, pretty bad. The three of us do
to
great.
To me.
Jive talking.
I asked Jeff not to sing. I'm going to demand that you not sing.
Oh, man, I'm hurt.
I'm sorry, but my dog's ears.
How's that bus feel, Anthony?
My dog's ears are sensitive.
I didn't hear you howling.
I will say this. You're on my good side if you like the Bee Gees. You're on my bad side if you don't. Where are you?
I like them. And it's kind of strange because I'm a hardcore metal guy. I'm really excited about next week's guest. But I mean, really excited. But
well, tell us about it. We're going.
There's a the guest next week.
Yeah,
we got a fellow coming in. I'm not going to share too much about his name right now. But he's made a movie, an animated film that took him 15 years to make. He made everything by it. It's a musical rock opera that's been compared in some circles to heavy metal and the best one ever made. And he played all the instruments. Sang on it, and it reminds me kind of a Spinal Tap with the Kiss twist. And
interesting.
I'm really excited because someone that takes 15 years and works on a single project of that nature, plus puts in all.
And he'll be on our show next Wednesday.
Yeah, we get all the best.
You darn right we do.
So,
what about you and the Bee Gees, Anthony?
Well, when I think about the Bee Gees, I think about the movie Rush Hour. the Bee Gees. Don't you ever touch a man's radio. The Bee Gees will get you a whipping up in here.
Yeah. There you go.
That's the Wayne's World Bohemian Rhapsody moment.
tomorrow, we will not be here. The Royals will be playing their series finale in Minneapolis against the Twins. And we'll be back Thursday. It'll be Jeff and his friend David Michael Hahn doing the Thursday show. And they'll have a BYU football preview with their play-by-play broadcaster, Greg Rubel. Thoughts on David Michael Hahn? You did a show with him, didn't you, Mike?
We talk on Facebook. You know, Jeff and David and I, we have a private chat group.
Really?
Yeah, you weren't invited, so I probably shouldn't tell you about it.
Why am I left out of these things?
I'm left out, too. Don't feel bad, Bob. I didn't know anything about it until today.
Hey, it took me 3 weeks to find out what they were talking about. They kept doing the email, but we get on pretty good. I thought we were about as good as you and Dude and Jeff. So.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought we could do our own show. It was a lot of fun.
You know, I keep getting hit with that. You guys thinking you could go do your own show. Here's what I'll tell you. Go give it a shot. Go sit in this chair every day and then tell me you can do your own show.
Oh,
I'm talking to both of you right now.
The closest I'll get to doing my own show is called PODCAST. That's as close as it's going to be.
There you go. Well, there's some.
I may be able to do it from this side right here.
There's something to be said for doing your own podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at least a feather in your cap. What have these clowns done? Oh, Jeff and Duda and
we have sit,
David Michael Hahn and Mike. I mean,
we've sat under a great teacher. We have been apprentices to one of the greats.
Who, me?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
If I could be Charles Barkley when he's talking to Shaq, he said Shaq ride off of Michael's coattail, Kobe's coattail. All they're doing is riding off your coattail.
Thank you. You guys are, I love you. Love having you on.
I can admit it, though.
I can't admit it. Mike, how many movies would you, have you chronicled every movie you've ever seen? I would think someone like you would have that done. That
no,
you have a list of every movie you've ever seen.
No, I don't.
I'm shocked.
I have a list of the last 2 years, And that's a little.
Do you regret not having that list?
Yes, greatly. Because sometimes what happens, and it just recently happened with the movie, someone said, have you seen this particular thing? I know I've never seen it. Then I started watching. I said, I watched this. I've seen this before. But to be able to remember the things you've seen, and that's a true thing, is I've seen so many. There are many I have seen that I don't remember. And I try not to watch a movie more than once if I don't really like it either.
So I keep track of movies. I don't go to many anymore. But there's this movie out called Borderlands that has Cate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Jamie Lee Curtis. Okay? Just on that alone, you'd think, that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah.
What is Cate Blanchett doing in a movie with Kevin Hart? Well, what we've discovered is, at least according to the reviews I've read, it's one of the worst movies ever made. Thoughts?
I would not say it's one of the worst movies ever made. I would say it's pretty bad. I will say Rotten Tomatoes, because I'm a writer for Rotten Tomatoes, it's not quite so bad now. I submit my reviews and thoughts. On opening day, it had a zero critics rating. had never, Bob, ever happened. And there's a lot of that people believe is backlash with Jack Black, which I don't happen to believe. I saw the movie, and one of my comments on it is the worst comic book action adventure I've ever seen. It's not a horrible movie, but it's not good either. It's just not good.
But there's not, you can make the argument that Cate Blanchett is maybe indisputably one of the great actors of our time. Mm-hmm. Why would she do this?
The same reason that someone like Kevin Hart, who you would project to be one of the funniest actors of all times, but he's not good in it either. Why would she do it? I can think of a lot of green, usually millions.
Sure, but
usually
she
reasons.
Doesn't need that.
Maybe they did it to break the ice, so to speak, you know, because they got something else coming up. So this is just like, we'll just throw something out there.
I hope not. Yeah. That's not what we want our greats to be like, you know? There are greats in every field, and Cate Blanchett, in my opinion, is an all-time great. So to sully her reputation with a movie like this, and not that great actors don't sometimes make dogs, but it just seems counterproductive.
And critics around the world regarding Cate Blanchett are saying the exact same thing you are. You're far from the only one that has made that observation.
There are just some actors that you respect them so much that they would never do something like this.
Yeah, one of the posts that I made at Facebook regarding movies, which I'm trying to limit myself to as much as I can and stay away from it, but I still have an obligation to the movies, is that there's two comic book based Marvel movies that's out, and despite one of them being criticized by a lot of groups that I've commented about, I thought Wolverine and Deadpool was very enjoyable. It's rated R, people. If there's an R rating by a movie, it means certain things. So don't go to an R-rated movie complaining about why there's R-rated content. And that's just one of my pet peeves. And so I had to throw that out there again. But I thought Deadpool Wolverine was hilarious. And I plan on paying to see it again. And I just got through mentioning how rare it is that I see it.
I've heard mostly good things about that one.
Yeah. There's one guy that's upset about not being in the movie, though. He's from Tennessee, too.
Who is that?
He stands about 7 foot tall. made his name in wrestling, too.
7 foot tall Tennessean.
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash.
Because they didn't invite him to this movie.
Hmm.
He was in the one prior to, you know, with the white and red striped shirt.
Well, I need to say
that was supposed to be in his character.
Marvel movie or from the Deadpool Wolverine?
I guess from the Deadpool Wolverine.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Big wrestler.
So Nash is upset about not being in this movie. I don't blame him.
Yeah. Who are these people? You recognize their voices. Anthony is with us today. Mike Furches. Our first effort at this particular three-man booth. So it's working out well. What's a movie on your radar that you need to get to?
Well, right now, outside of what's upcoming, I think the one I want to see most that I'm seeing advertised right now just for fun is Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton looks as good as ever. I think Michael Keaton's one of the great underrated actors of all time. Some of the original cast is back, and
I would agree with you on Michael Keaton. I don't think he gets enough credit. Boy, that makes me think. If I was doing a list of top 10 actors in my lifetime, how would he not be in that list?
Yeah.
Or on that list.
You don't think about him as being a great actor, but then you think about the movies that he's in, and you think, "Whoa, yeah, that was really good. Yeah, I really liked him in that. I didn't expect him to be in that movie, but he played that off really well." You think those types of things about Michael Keaton. And some people still say he is the best of all of the Batmans. Now think about that. That he would be considered the best of all the Batman and the people that have played
that. I think there's a case to be made.
Yeah. So he's. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And I never saw Beetlejuice till a year ago. I didn't want to see it. And my wife talked me into it, and so we sat and watched it one night. And I thought, this is really good. I actually enjoy this. So I'm looking forward to. And plus, they're paying. Looks like the remake is paying tribute to the original, which I appreciate. So,
changing gears, Anthony, are you a movie guy?
Okay, so the movies I would like to see, I can't remember what it is I want to see, so I would have to go back and see Twisters so I can see the preview. That way I can tell you what movies I would like to see.
There you go.
You remembered the previews better than the movie?
There's a great app called Flixster. I would recommend downloading it. I don't know if you have it.
Yeah.
But it gives you a list of all the movies that are showing at area theaters, what time they're on. A synopsis of what the movie is, who's in it, and then it has a very cool section about movies that are upcoming. So I look at it a lot.
Yeah.
And at some point, I'll get back into the movie thing. It's embarrassing to me that I'm not. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you the reason, okay? You guys can ridicule it. You can do whatever you want. I have a dog, and every time I leave my dog, it's painful. Thoughts? Go ahead.
You know what? I can give you my thoughts. She is there for, and this is an area of expertise for me, she is there for a support animal because she's providing you emotional support.
And I'm happy when I'm with her, but I feel like I'm shutting myself out of certain things.
It's not, I don't think it's too hard of a process. But look on getting her emotional support status, then she can go to the movie with you. I see dogs with people at movies now more than ever. And I don't know about the rest of the theaters, but AMC hasn't made a big deal about it.
Do they hold them in their lap? I'm going to do this.
Sit in their lap, or sometimes the personal
Misty would be Misty would go completely nuts.
Yeah.
Well, I got a suggestion. You think she would go nuts in the theater? Take her to the drive-in. They still got the drive-in.
There you go.
She'd go nuts there. What would we do?
Well, at least if she go nuts, at least you could.
Let me tell you the kind of dog Misty is: a Jack Russell, a terrier, a whirling dervish, a ball of fire. Now, she sleeps during the day because my wife's not here, and she longs for Debbie, so she sleeps. But when Debbie's here, now she's getting a little older, so. She's slowing down a little bit, but she's nonstop. And trying to take her and corral her to some degree, I don't think the success rate would be very good there.
Yeah, so you don't think she would sit next to you in a chair?
No. You have a terrier, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I got a pit bull. He's a big old baby, too. When I say he's a big old baby, he's a big old baby.
And they probably might have a better shot at calming down at a movie theater. I don't know. At a drive-in.
Well, you're either going to have to find
them. I'm going to let you take them and see how you do it.
I don't want to know.
How did you do it before, Misty? Or have you done it before since before Misty?
Yeah, we used to go to movies, as you know.
Yeah.
And then COVID came, and that just kind of shut me down on
See, I think that with
going to movies, we go out to eat. We do all that stuff.
See, I think the COVID scare, I think that bothered you more than you realize. And I think that's one of the main that you still haven't. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a natural process, but to get over that.
And I need to go see a therapist. This isn't a therapy show, and you two certainly aren't qualified.
Says who?
Maybe you are. Well, maybe you are.
State of Kansas says so, but that's
Mike might be. I don't know about you, big fella. You have a psychologist degree?
No, I don't have none of all this. I don't have none of this stuff. I just have common sense.
There you go.
I can share it with
you. That can go a long way.
Help you through your therapy.
I'm going to throw, Anthony will appreciate this. It's like the old gospel singer. He used to say, I ain't never been to seminary, but I've been to Calvary.
Amen.
Yeah, that, I mean. So,
let the church say amen.
And I just got back from Springfield in Illinois. And went to Abraham Lincoln's place and was in excruciating pain, but it was so worth it. Man, talk about a man. Never went to college. And they were talking up there about how he had wrestled over 600 wrestling matches and won almost all of them.
Wow. I've only been to Springfield one time. I think they held the Missouri Valley Conference baseball tournament there one year for whatever reason. And that's the only time I've ever been to Springfield. I couldn't even tell you when, and I may be dreaming that. Given how I'm performing on this show today, I wouldn't trust my memory for anything right now.
It happened.
But I'm almost sure I was there for the Missouri Valley Conference baseball tournament.
You was there. You probably had to write up in the Eagle about it.
Yeah.
You was there.
I believe it.
You know what? Before you mentioned it right then, I would have never remembered it.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy how the brain works on things like that?
Very.
I've driven through Springfield, but I had never stopped. And I would SIL that whole, I wouldn't go up there seeing that program play ball sometime. Just for the sake of visiting all the old MVC teams and stuff.
Yeah. All right, time for a break. When we come back, we'll visit with Hall of Fame inductee, Kansas Sports Hall of Fame inductee, coming up in October, Scott Russell, former all-time great in track and field at the University of Kansas. He joins the show next. It's Bob, Anthony, Mike, a Tuesday edition, The Bob and Jeff Show.
KFA.
We're still efforting Scott Russell, I'm told. I quit. Tony, I'll pick up my check tomorrow, and that'll be that.
It's one of those days.
He's just really trying to get us in that seat over there.
I know.
I'm not getting in that seat. I refuse to. I'm going to put a black ribbon on that seat saying, here's where Bob sat.
Well, all I can do is set up the interviews. It's up to those who are being interviewed to.
Yeah. This is one of those that I'm really was looking forward to because I sat center watching the Great Olympics with my grandson. And I'm not making this up. The javelin in particular event, I had not seen that much before.
I think every track and field event is great, every single one of them.
Yeah,
there's not one that I don't
triple jump.
I think the triple jump's phenomenal.
I agree with every event. The 4x400 or the 4x800.
I have a question though, because there was some stuff going on in the Olympics, and I have to question the sanity of the IOC. You got pickleball, you got table tennis or ping pong.
Oh, come on, man.
And then you got this other one called speed walking.
Speed walking's been around forever. Now, break dancing, that was new this year.
Break dancing?
Which is it's a fun thing to see, but is it a competitive athletic event? And to me, that's one thing about the Olympics. Is that they're not exhibition, but they're competitive. And
You two sound old.
I don't like judgment calls. And I heard the judges and others that were talking about that. There's so many things in regards to judging that are.
I understand.
How do you judge a breakdance in the Olympics?
How do you judge anything? You know, you build up over years and years, and like judging the balance beam.
Well, wrestling is an easy thing to judge, but then they cut back the weight classes and the number of. I mean, it's amazing. to me, it's amazing that the oldest sport, that and running, and they look at cutting events from those two sports and aspects of that, and then adding things that wall climbing. Okay, okay. I mean, and it was fun to watch. It was amazing, like watching Spider-Man on acid.
Well, I mean, why not? You know, why not have these events?
I mean, if I want to see pickleball, I'll go out to.
Here's the reason.
But pickleball is such a popular activity now.
Right, activity.
Okay.
I think it's a sport as
but
much
it's
as tennis.
Have you watched a well, yeah, I presume you saw it in the Olympics. It's unbelievable how good these people
are. I was more in tune to the gymnastics, and even with that, I didn't like some of the rule changes because I guess it's like in the team events or something like that, you're only allowed two per country. I thought it was about having the best athletes out there.
Yeah. The other thing for me, Bob, on the reason as to why not, is it true or not true that the projection is or the proposal is to eliminate boxing in the next Olympics? That's the why not. Because I think that boxing is or the, those sports of that nature, wrestling, track and field, those types of things where you have winners and
– Well, I know baseball or softball, those are two sports that I think should be –
Yes.
But the problem is not enough countries play them. Now, baseball has been an Olympic sport in the past. It's going to be again in 2028. But I don't know how many countries have boxers nowadays. Even in the heyday of boxing, it used to be the U.S.,
and Russia.
Russia, and Cuba. And that was about it. And if you saw anyone else from a different country, it was unusual.
But as you could see this year, you also have Iran and you have Pakistan. You have other nations, European nations. You have Ireland and those types of things that are contributing as well.
Boxing as a whole has taken a big step backwards.
And then here's another twist. There was some, well, they weren't even really countries. Like, is Cuba really a country?
Sure it is.
Or Hong Kong, that's like a city inside of a country, but they were making, you know, comments about there were people that was representing what wasn't really countries.
They had an unassociated flag this year for Olympians that were not affiliated with any country. Yeah, they had a team like that this year.
Yeah. So,
but I don't know. I hate to see them take, and I enjoy watching. I wish I could do it.
Well, I mean, you mentioned table tennis, or you called it ping pong. I don't know if you watch Olympic table tennis. Unbelievable. I don't sit and watch every match, of course, but I like to watch it for 20 minutes at a time. It's amazing what those people can do, and we've all played ping pong. We know what it's like to play. But to play at that level, we don't know what that's like.
Right. Now, one thing I found interesting, y'all remember the inception of the NBA players in the Olympics?
Yeah, I remember.
And we called them the Dream Team and how they had this rock star type persona. Everybody wanted to see them. Now it's like Team USA has now become the villain, especially in France. Then you have a guy on Team USA who don't know if he wants to be Team USA in 2028, don't know if he wants to be Team Cameroon or Team France, but at the same time, he told Team France to do what Triple H and Shawn Michaels told people to do.
What? What are you trying to say? You're talking about Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid told
who
France.
Said no to France.
Right.
And he got booed mercilessly over there.
I mean, think about it. Now, that's what you call getting some heat over there in France. I mean,
that's okay. He knew he'd get it. He wanted to play for the U.S. Nobody harbors any ill will toward him for that outside of the French. And even the French.
They don't like any
of us.
That
was done more mockingly and in good nature than it was. It wasn't really vicious. The French weren't vicious toward Joel Embiid.
Well, he told them two words that was notorious in the days of WWE with DX. He told them.
I know.
We got it. Which is fine. And he had the right to do that.
And my ancestry is French Indian, so I can say this with a little bit of understanding. A lot of the French don't like many Americans for anything.
Sure.
And never have. For a lot of bad reasons, but none of which, oh, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to get political on here. But they don't like any of us, so that for that to happen with the USA team, that was to be expected.
It's a political world.
Yeah.
Especially right now, it's exacerbated. So, yeah, that's okay. But I thought France did a really good job of hosting the Olympics. I thought France, I mean, their medal count was
good.
Great.
It was really good. The arena
competed really well.
That arena where they held track and field.
It was incredible.
I don't think the Chinese place was pretty amazing. But whether that will last, France built a new Colosseum. It was an amazing.
Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. I don't think I'd see anything I like as much as that. And so they did a good job of hosting the Olympics. I hope and pray that we can do a good job. And
I think we will. LA the time difference will be welcome. Rather than having to stay up late at night and watch recorded things.
The construction on the roads that has to be done and then the driving in that city. Thank God for television.
I was in L.A. in 84, not during the time when the Olympics were held. A little bit before the Olympics. So it was crazy then. But I think Los Angeles is a good site because they got everything. They don't have to build many sites. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not at a particular just one site. It'll be all over the place in the area. So,
I have a question. Maybe it's an observation. Maybe you guys can help me because we're supposed to be talking about javelin throwing too. Can you imagine if javelin throwers were quarterbacks in the NFL with accuracy? With accuracy.
Yeah. I kind of thought that same thought as I was watching the competition this year.
Because they can throw that.
My grandson said, peepaw. He says, peepaw, they're just throwing sticks. I says, no sense, a little bit more than throwing a stick.
Yeah, I'd have to talk. I wish we could get Scott Russell. The dynamic of throwing a javelin and a football is obviously different. But in what ways? Is it different?
Yeah, my question would be if we get to it to the point, and I'm not on the show, I really want to know this because we were watching the way that arm bends, and it's kind of the same thing in baseball, but the way that arm bends, the way he comes down, it's a body injury waiting to happen. It's not if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But the dynamics of how that arm twerks at the elbow like it does for that throw. And when they come down, the way they come down, there's an ACL injury waiting to happen.
No doubt.
And it's a tremendous sport. It is kind of like my grandson said, they're throwing a stick. To throw a stick with the precision that they throw it and the distance is...
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And every Olympic sport has that.
Yeah.
Every Olympic sport has amazing people competing in it.
Yeah.
Whether it's... pickleball or wall climbing or breaking, what they do, what these athletes can do is amazing.
Yeah, and this is a rare comment from me. Even in basketball, LeBron this year really impressed me in a lot of different ways that he has not in the past. So if Jeff were here, he would appreciate me saying that. I will still say I don't think he's the GOAT, but he did a
great
job.
Well, that's fine, and that's kind of a silly debate to really even be having. I can respect people on both sides. Anthony, you wanted to say something about LeBron.
Yeah, I did want to say something about LeBron. I think Steph Curry should be the Olympic MVP.
Well, yeah, I think there's no doubt the way he played. Now, up until the last couple of games, he was not great. LeBron was pretty darn good throughout.
Yeah, he was pretty darn good. But what Steph did
in the championship game especially – was like unlike anything we've seen. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
He's a sniper. I mean, when you see the release on his shot, and I mean, it's so fast. It's like he could be like the way his shot is released and the way defenders come at him. He could talk trash like Larry Bird. Like I don't even know how come he came out here.
Yeah, Larry'd have something for him.
He'd have something for him. But his release form is equivalent to what Dan Marino had in the NFL.
Yeah, he's incredible. But I'll say this. It was obvious that the greatest collection of players in the world took comfort when LeBron James was on the floor with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still have
issues.
Hold on. I still have issue with Steve Kerr and how he treated some of those players. If you weren't going to play them, why even bring them along?
Well, they all played at times. When you have 12 players, what team in college basketball or high school basketball plays 12 players when you're trying to win a gold medal?
Well, back in the old WSU days with Greg Marshall, they were playing 11.
Played 9 or 10, at times, but not.
He was doing whole shift changes, though, Bob. There were times that they would change a whole shift. That's 10 players right there.
I take some of those real, since you talking about whole shift changes, just go up the road to Derby. Watch the girls' game.
Yeah.
Five in, five out.
When I coached soccer, I coached a fairly powerful and good high school soccer team back in North Carolina. We were ranked 10th in the nation. And I would not do whole shift changes, but I would do five every five. I did five of five, which you could do in high school.
Mm-hmm.
That means every 5 minutes, my five midfielders would switch
out. No offense, but high school soccer is a little different than gold medal Olympic basketball.
That's true, but when you're talking sports, I think especially the Olympics.
You guys are bringing out the you guys are starting to sound a little bit like Jeff.
No, later
in the show.
You could never sound like Jeff.
No. We're not trying to sing. Well, at least one of us
isn't. Our voice is getting high-pitched, and we're not disrespecting Daddy.
I don't think Jeff disrespects me.
Here's what
I think happens. I think Jeff and I, and I get this all the time, why are you so mean to Jeff? Why do you have the banter you do? What is it? You know why? Because we have a very good father-son relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why that works. If we didn't have a good father-son relationship, now that doesn't mean there are times when it's not real. Where it's real here. Some of the emotions are real at times. But you couldn't have that unless you had a very good relationship.
I would say it like this. Anybody that has questions about how you and Jeff have y'all banter, ask them why do they look at or listen to some of the sports shows that they listen to.
Yeah. I got to say, because we're not too far ahead of time. I want to get back on this a second if I can.
Okay, go for it.
The United States of America with the NBA and the college teams that we have, I don't think there's any – I'm going back to that. I don't think there's any reason that we can't be playing every 12, because a fresh team is better than a tired team. A weaker team that's fresh – if they're giving it everything they have, and in that fast speed up tempo type of game, I would hope they are. And speed can kill. I think they should be playing.
I'm going to trust Steve Kerr, Eric Spoelstra, Ty Lue. I'm going to trust those guys to do what's in the best interest of trying to win a gold medal
in LeBron James
for the United States. I think this is on a different level than anything else.
Which is why matchups. Which is why they should play the players.
Nah, I don't agree with you.
Okay.
You play the players who are going to win the gold medal for you. And it's a lot about matchups and the teams you're playing. Don't get your butt hurt about Jason Tatum not getting in many games. Too bad.
Play to win the game.
Jason Tatum.
Well, that's the difference. Now, here's the difference. I don't play to win.
Or Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese Halliburton's time. Both Halliburton and Tatum will be mainstays on the 2028 team.
Yeah. I think there's truth to that, but I wouldn't play or coach to win. This is going to tell you something terrible about me. I play to win by as much as possible, and that's the difference. You're going to win. You're going to win by a margin of 54 points. I want to win by a margin of 254 points, and with the best players.
Good grief, Mike!
I know it's terrible,
and that's pretty much the standard. I mean, okay, yeah. I mean, the American USA team basketball, not only are they measured by the wins, but they're measured also by the margin of victories. So if you have all this firepower, you may as well use it.
What firepower didn't they use?
But they could have utilized them a little bit more than what.
Well, like what? We get what? Where? What firepower?
I mean, don't put Jason Tatum in for for some token minutes.
Why are you hung up on Jason Tatum? Who is Jason Tatum better than Is he better than Anthony Davis? Is he better than Anthony Edwards? Who do you then? I mean, I don't get this Jason Tatum.
I tell you what, I'm surprised Anthony Davis didn't get hurt.
No, I'm asking you.
He's a walking injury.
Don't go there. Tell me who you would sit on the bench for Jason Tatum, because I don't see it.
I can say anyone. If a person's giving it their all and everything, there's going to be a time that their body needs a little bit of rest.
And they got plenty of rest.
But how much time did Tatum get to where he could replace someone?
He played pretty much 10 players every game. There were usually two guys who didn't get in. Halliburton didn't get in at all.
That's another travesty right there. Why is he not getting in the game?
Because they're trying to win a gold medal. This isn't the JV game at Newton, okay?
We're not going to talk about Newton. We're not going to talk about
We're
not going to talk about Dimitri Williams right now. That's my friend out there. We're not talking about JV. Newton's JV. We're talking about you got the best players and all the best players didn't play.
Again, who? Who is Jason Tatum?
And Tyrese Halliburton.
How are you getting more from those guys than you are the guys who did play?
If I'm correct, Jason Tatum just put a ring on too. I need some help. 316-869-1240.
There's no help. There's no
Please
help.
Please call the show.
You're out in the middle of the ocean, my friend.
But in a championship game in high school or whatever level, you try to let the players, you just mentioned Halliburton didn't even play at all, you try to let the players have some experience in that as well because they have contributed. They've contributed in practices.
Oh, you guys. How much longer do we have?
We're almost out of time.
You guys are making my head hurt.
It's 351.
They won the gold medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they was also and they tested. Won.
Playing Jason Tatum or Tyrese Halliburton doesn't make the medal more gold.
I mean, I get that point, but still, America is judged on a different standard when it comes to basketball. And I know the game is global. These other countries, they have gotten better. I mean, you got Victor Wembanyama, or however you say his name, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't think he played, but if he wanted to play for his country, that makes his country team better. I mean, at the end of the day, the U.S. is still judged on not just winning, but the margin of victory. And if you have the players that can help you get that margin, use them.
One of my least favorite people of my life from my hometown had a great saying when he was coaching football. It's not my job to stop my offense. That's Steve Spurrier. And people were criticizing him by such a large margin. But
Drew Holiday played very well in the Olympics, right? He won't play next time. He's 34. His time is done. Steph Curry, that's his final Olympics, I presume. He's 36. Yeah. Kevin Durant probably won't play. But let's sit him down so we can get Jason Tatum in. Come on, guys.
That's three players.
LeBron won't play.
We know
so at the next Olympics, you'll see expanded roles for Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton.
And I bet you they're going to find a way to put Bronny James on the team.
I doubt it.
I don't.
Come on, Anthony. You're stretching that one a little too far. Maybe. We'll see.
All he has to do between now and then is average like 12 points a game.
Devin Booker couldn't have played better. You're going to put Tyrese Halliburton out there for Devin Booker? Yeah, you can't be. You got to be kidding me.
You're not going to get any argument, I think, from either of us as to the quality of those players, the contributions that they made. I'm just looking at, as a coach, maybe it's just too much of an old school thing that when you can play your kids, you play your kids. And there are moments they could have gotten more time, I think, in the game. So
there's the music.
Oh, my goodness.
Signals the end of this show.
Ended better than we started.
Jason Duda texted. No participation medals in the Olympics.
Was this
he actually took my side on this.
It's not.
He said, give it to them, Bob.
No.
Furches is out to lunch. Who was that from, Jeff? That's from Jason Duda.
How old is Jason?
And what do any Canadians know about basketball? We're not talking hockey.
Right.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Good to see both of you. We'll be out tomorrow with the Royals playing Minnesota. Back on Thursday. Have a good night.